This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome. You are listening to Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting today's service. Information on ordering tapes, CDs, or printed copies of the sermon will follow the program. We are pleased you have chosen to worship with us today and invite you to tune in every Sunday on this station.
If you were asked, "I'm confused, what is the central message of the church?" would you have the answer? We're going to talk about that in a sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that clearly in your word, you have given to us the central message of the Holy Scriptures. Grant, O God, that we may have the grace to understand as you proclaim to us that it is only one primary message from which all others flow. That message is that God loves us, and in Christ we are redeemed. Help us as we study this more carefully. We ask it in Jesus' name, and for his sake, amen.
Immortal, invisible, God only wise, in light inaccessible, hid from our eyes. Most blessed, most glorious, the Ancient of Days, Almighty, victorious, thy great name we praise. To all life thou givest, to both great and small, in all life thou livest, the true life of all. We blossom and flourish as leaves on the tree, and wither and perish, but not changeth thee. Great Father of glory, pure Father of light, thine angels adore thee, all veiling their sight. All praise we would render, O help us to see, 'tis only the splendor of light changeth thee. 'Tis only the splendor of light changeth thee.
Friends in Christ, what is the central teaching of the Christian faith? Let me tell you how the Bible answers that question. It is the cross and the empty tomb of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me read you our text for today, as it is recorded in the third chapter of the Gospel of St. John, beginning with the 14th verse. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into this world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Life in the desert was tough for the people of Israel as they were on their way to the promised land. They grew impatient both at God and Moses, and they began to grumble. Why have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the desert? We have no bread, we have no water, and the food is miserable. Hearing their complaints, God sent a plague. He sent venomous snakes that if they bit the people, they would die. As Israel saw many of its people dying from these snake bites, they came with another plea. Moses, they said, we have sinned when we spoke against you. Will you pray the Lord to take the snakes away? And then Moses went and made that petition, and the Lord said to Moses, make a snake and put it on a pole. Anyone who is bitten can look at it and live. So Moses made a bronze snake and put it upon a pole. Then when anyone was bitten by a snake and looked at the bronze snake, he lived. Now that's the Old Testament story. It was this Old Testament incident that John used in his gospel when he wrote, just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. It had to be shown that this bronze serpent itself was not what really saved, but rather it is the saving power of God, and this is simply a symbol that pointed them to the way of health. In the New Testament, we have the cross. It points to the death of Jesus, and it is the death of Jesus that shows that like the snake of the Son of Man had to be lifted up, so Jesus had to be lifted up, in order that anyone who looked at him, who trusted him, who believed him, would have eternal life. That's the message. Tom Wright, the great English theologian, has said, humankind has been smitten with a deadly disease, and the only cure is to look to the Son of Man dying on the cross. This evil which was in the world, primarily sin, was allowed to take out its fullest force in Jesus. It was not a messy accident. The cross stands between earth and heaven. This is important for us to realize, friend, that the message, no matter what people say, the message of the Christian faith centers in this great truth, that Jesus Christ suffered and died for the sins of the world on a cross, and then 3 days later, he was raised from the dead. But we must be involved in this matter of salvation too. It is true that Christ has done it all. He came here to this earth. He was the one who suffered. He was the one who died. He was the one who was raised again. And that's what John 3:16a plainly says. But that is not the end of that verse. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, God's part, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God has died in order that we might live. Christ died, and we are now empowered by the Holy Spirit to receive the Lord Jesus into our hearts. God has provided the way of salvation. Christ's vicarious suffering and death has paid the price that our sins can be forgiven. It is this forgiveness that brings the believer into the new world to be lived out right here on this earth until he calls us to the heavenly home in eternity. Again, quoting Dr. Wright, he says, you do not have to be condemned. Just think of it. We do not have to be condemned. We do not have to let the snake kill us. God's action in the crucifixion of Jesus has planted a sign in the middle of history, and the sign says, "Believe, and you will live." This tremendous message of Christ dying for the sins of the world, historically, biblically, has always been the center of the Christian faith. But we know that from perhaps nearly the beginning, there were those who wanted to move the believer's attention away from the cross and talk more about the social aspects of the gospel, what can be done to improve life while we are here. And we know that that is a very, very important part of the Christian faith too, that we are to love by caring for the sick, feeding the poor, clothing the naked. That is a part of the Christian faith, but it is not the core. It flows from the core. The core is that God has loved us in Jesus Christ, and because that love has so overwhelmed us, we are anxious to do these good deeds. But it is not the good deeds that has saved us. It is Jesus Christ and the cross. What does this message then do to the Christian and the church? It gives to us a zeal to share Christ with our world. So I have listed a few questions here today that give me some concern, and I believe that those of us who are serious about the church, about our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and about what our mission is all about, have got to give them some thought. Here are some of them. Number one, if a person's salvation is a central message of the Christian faith, why has the cross and the resurrection lost its place in many churches today? Why, when the media talks about Christianity, does it go more to the social aspect? Why doesn't it deal with what Christianity truly says, that if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven and you are going to go to heaven? Why is that eliminated? And we just turn to all the good things that can flow from the Christian faith. Now, I preach not against these good things, but what I do preach about is they're in the wrong position. They are a secondary message. The first message, the primary message, is that Jesus Christ has died for the world, and those who will trust in him have life everlasting. But the person goes on to say, the common answer to that is, it's offensive to our culture. It's offensive that anybody would make Jesus the Son of God and the Savior of the world. It's offensive to my culture that someone would say that only in Christ Jesus is there the forgiveness of sin and the promise of life everlasting. And yet that's what the Bible says. Today we are not contending so much about what the church wants to say about the gospel. We are saying what the Bible tells us is the gospel, and that the gospel is the central teaching of it all. I tried this one. Do you think there might be a relationship between the decline in church attendance and a departure from the proclaiming of Christ as the only way to heaven. And I certainly do. When the church has lost its unique message, it loses its answer to the world's greatest question. How do I enter into a relationship with my Creator, who seems so distant, so far away? How do I enter into that relationship? And the church, when it is true to its message, will say, you do that in Christ. Christ brings you into the presence of God. Christ is the center of it all. So you see, if the church chooses to proclaim something else, and it really doesn't strike the core of hurt in the heart of a man or a woman, they have to say, well, I tried the church, and the church doesn't have the answer because it had departed from what Christ taught his body to preach. Sure, there's a decline. Why should I get up on a Sunday morning and go and hear some moralizing? I can get that during the week in my service club. My children can get it in the Scouts. It's available all around. But it is that unique message that Jesus Christ died for the sins of the world, and in him you enter into a personal relationship with the Lord for all eternity. Here is another one. While there might be a need of change in church architecture and the order of worship to interest people, do you think such external changes will build the church? Will it replace the central message of the church that Jesus Christ has suffered and died for the sins of the world and has been raised again? Now, we have a church building that was built in the early 80s. It is not a Gothic church. It is somewhat contemporary, and it has met our needs for many years. Sure, there can be a change in architecture as a way of presenting the gospel changes. That shouldn't cause us to get too upset. I myself, obviously, like some of those old hymns, I'm 85 years old. But if some say, well, I don't want them anymore, I feel sorry for them. I think they bring tremendous messages to us, and we're going to close today by hearing George Beverly Shea sing that great hymn, The Old Rugged Cross. It's one of those songs that will never go out of existence. It tells a story. But if for some reason or other we say we have to have a more contemporary style of music, so be it. But those changes, those external changes in music and architecture or whatever else it may be, will never replace the message of the law of God and the gospel. Those other things will one day wear out, and they'll become old, and the results will be we'll have to go around and find something else. But we need to have that eternal gospel. Now let me ask you another question. If you were not a Christian, that is, that you did not believe that Jesus Christ was Savior and Lord. Could you expect to hear about Christ dying for your sins next Sunday in the sermon? That's a pretty important question. Would there be any value in inviting your neighbor or your co-worker to church and then hearing something far less than that? Well, I'll have to let you be the judge. There may be other reasons. But I hurry on to say that in every sermon, somewhere, we need to deal with the basic message of the church. God knows that there are so many other messages that can flow out from there, and we can talk about them, and we need to talk about them, and sometimes we have failed to talk about them. But we also know that they are secondary. I must be able to hear the way of salvation every Sunday morning when I sit in my church. I must be fed on the bread of life. If you are good friends with a person who is not a Christian, does that person know that you're very concerned about him or her? Do they know that wherever you have an opportunity, not in an offensive way, but in a kind, loving, passionate way, to tell them, oh, how I wished you knew Jesus? It would make all the difference in the world. It would make all the difference to our friendship. My friend, these are pretty important questions. Don't stop singing "The Old Rugged Cross." Listen to Bev Shea sing it. Amen.
Cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange someday for a crown. Oh, that old rugged cross, so despised by the world, has a wondrous attraction for me. For the Lamb of God left his glory above to bear it to the Calvary.
So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophy is at last
to the old rugged change it someday for a
Father in heaven, we thank you for the gift of your Son, that we might have the forgiveness of our sins, and that we might know we're yours forever. We pray that that message of salvation may also inspire us to hold on to that which you have given to us and bring it to our world, that in Christ there is a promise of life everlasting. God, we pray for our world that has lost its way. And we pray for a church that at times has lost its way too, for it has succumbed to a culture that said they did not need to hear a great deal about sin, that did not need to hear about a Savior dying, but rather some little deeds here and there, which are good in themselves. But, oh Lord, we pray for that world, that they may understand you cannot substitute anything for the message that comes in Christ and in Him alone. O God in heaven, we pray that you will open our hearts and create within us faith, that we may find our consolation, our comfort, and our strength in knowing that in Jesus Christ we are yours forever. Bless us to that end as we pray for our country, our president, and all of those that you have placed in authority over us. May they find their strength and their peace only in you. In Christ's name, amen.
You have been worshiping with Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry. We pray that today's sermon will provide strength to you in the coming week. Many listeners have chosen to support our ministry with an estate gift. If you feel strongly in the mission of Christian Crusaders and would like the work of this ministry to continue for years to come, please consider a charitable donation. By including Christian Crusaders in your will, you can continue your Christian stewardship even after your death. Please call us at 1-888-MY-FAITH for more information. That's 1-888-693-2484. If you know someone who would enjoy Christian Crusaders, please tell them about our ministry. With your help, we can share the word and spread the light of the gospel so no one walks in darkness. For a cassette, CD, or printed copy of today's sermon, please write to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. You may also call 1-888-MY-FAITH or 1-888-693-2484. Conducting today's service was our radio speaker, the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. Christian Crusaders is now in its 73rd year of continuous Sunday worship broadcasting.